Let's begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse with this observation from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
It is a great danger for a minister or a ministry to get gifts that are given to God and use them to magnify themselves as if they were someone great. When you take something to the Lord, you release it to the Lord and you give it to Him. But I want you to think of that in your tithes, your offerings, your service, your help, things that you do with the poor, things that you do to fix somebody's broken car or house, just ways that you love God and you serve Him. Think of it from this point on as a gift and a vow. I am giving this as a gift to you, Lord. Not out of obligation. It becomes a gift.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Have you ever stopped to think that your life is not only a gift from God, but it's to be returned to Him as a gift? We can either be a sweet-smelling aroma raising to the heavens, or a stench that will one day be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Paul, in his writing to the Romans, said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Today, Mike continues with the next series of Psalms, so let's open our Bibles to the Old Testament.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm 75, please. Psalm 75. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in Psalm 75, and I was sharing it with Leland as the announcements were being made. And it's a verse that could maybe help your life, maybe even change your life. It's a great verse. But I'd like to start out by praying for you first. Lord, we sense in our spirits, the Spirit through the songs and the lyrics that have been written by these men, that there's something special in you when people surrender their hearts. And we'd like to pray that you could help us surrender our heart. And as we read from David, who was a great songwriter and instrumentalist and a poet, these final psalms of the 70s tell us that there are a lot of people that act like they are close to you and love you, and they're hanging around the sanctuary, but their heart isn't with you. And we want to look at that because we want our hearts to be with you. We don't want to look like we're one thing or say we're something or be busy about you when we don't even know you and aren't surrendered to you. So help us learn from David that we could surrender our hearts to you and that you could release your energy through the Holy Spirit that would ultimately open up our hearts, that your kingdom could just gush out of them to those around us, but also more of your kingdom could gush into us. As we looked at just the poetic words of David saying that you dropped out of heaven, you poured out of heaven, you rained down from heaven. Just all that picture that we're going to look at, Lord, would you do the same for us? Just pour out from heaven, rain down from heaven on our souls. There's just no reason for us to be together unless you're going to be here. So we're desperately calling on you to change us, to make us holy people, and to be filled with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, that every knee in heaven and earth shall bow at His name, we ask these things. Amen. Psalm 75. Unto Thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks, for that Your name is near Your wondrous works declare. For that Your name is near Thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. This is really important. Would you underline receive the congregation? This is not necessarily a play on words, but it's a different term that could be used here. And when you receive, it could be the set time. Now, this is interesting because you can see the rapture of the church here. You can see the taking of God's children. There is a set time when God will receive. Now just think tonight, if tonight were the night that God was going to receive all of his children from the North Pole to the South Pole and everything around the planet. There is a set time. Jesus told us about it. St. Paul told us about it. And this is what he's saying, when you receive the congregation, there is an hour that the congregation, God's children from all the centuries, will be before God's throne. It could be tonight. It could be in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. It could be first thing in the morning before you have to go back to school and take your test. It could be at an inopportune time or a great opportunity to disappear. But I want you to underline that, because God is going to receive, and it's a picture of a king receiving a gift, that he is going to receive you. You're going to go into his throne room as a great gift through his son, Jesus Christ. So literally, receive means to a set time, to take a set time. It appears in this psalm that the earth is pretty beaten up when this happens. And our planet today is pretty beaten up. Economically, socially, politically. You think of all the starving people, all the dying people, all the waste, that we are in a place like David speaks of at the time that God's going to receive his congregation, is going to receive his people. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. And remember again, the word Selah is the same word for pause, wait, meditate on what you just said, or heard, or read. Think about that, is what it literally means. The earth and all of its inhabitants are dissolved. Boy, that's an ugly picture, isn't it? It's gone. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, or your power, or your authority, or your personality, or your ego. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion, and this is one of my most favorite verses, verse 6. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one, and he sets up another. Would you underline that, and both, or circle it, and put a star by it, and live by that? It stops all strife. I'm going to tell you a story that happened many, many years ago that God had already impressed this in my heart. It was 2 years after I was a Christian. And I helped launch and start it was basically the first contemporary Christian music label in the world. And I was looking for distribution. And all the time that I was out looking to make things happen, I'm finding out that God's already got a plan. He's already making it happen. And so I went to this person I heard was a Christian, and he owned a large record distribution company, and his office happened to be in the Playboy building on Sunset Boulevard. And I went to his office, and I sat there, and if you can get this picture in your mind, you'll understand how it was a little bit humorous, but I was trying to be really serious, and I'm always trying to learn. I'm doing my best to learn in every situation. This man's ego was his office. His desk was backed up to the big glass windows overlooking Sunset Boulevard, which was very prestigious, to say the least. But where he put his guests that came in to talk to him was at the very other end of the room on a couch. But the couch didn't face the desk. It faced the wall, so you had to sit sideways and talk down this room to get his attention. And I think that he was about from where I am to those of you in the 10th row, maybe. And I'm sitting there like this trying to talk to this guy. Definitely a control freak. And you just see, you know, that this guy was into what he is into. So I'm talking to him and he's telling me, if you will bring the record company to me, this is what I'm going to do. Now, I'd been to several record companies and everybody told me what they could do. But I would pray and the Lord would not say anything. So when the Lord says nothing, I just keep out of his way. And I had people say that they were going to do this and they were going to do that. And I'm the number two in the country and I'm the number one. And we could do this and we can do that if you'll just come with us, blah, blah, blah. So this guy is sitting there. And I didn't want to say, you're really boasting here and you're saying so much. What about God? What can God do? Is God speaking to you that he wants this record company that's really a ministry to come to you? And so he's saying, well, I'll do this. And he's like lifting his hands up that he's going to make all the artists are going to be stars, all the guys, you know, and artists and all these business words when they're just music ministers. So I said, I was told you're a Christian man. Are you a Christian man? Yes. And I am. And I said, well, do you have a Bible here in your office? He said, well, there's a bookcase right there. I'm sure we have a Bible somewhere. At that point, he gets up from his desk and walks to the end of this very expansive office. And he reaches around, and I pull out this Bible. And he said, yes, there it is. This Bible had never been opened a day in its life. You know what I'm saying? Pages are thin. They stick together. So I open up to Psalm 75, verse 6. And I said, sir, would you mind reading verse 6 and 7 for me? So he does this. He takes the Bible. And he goes, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one, and he sets up another. And he says, my God, that's a great scripture for promotion and for public relations. He missed the whole thing. I said, no, it's just the opposite of what you're saying. What it's saying is that you can't do anything. What? You can't do anything. I can't do anything. If God's lifting it up, you let him lift it up. And why do you think he's taking somebody down? Because they became unuseful for him. You don't ever want to be unuseful. You want God to do it. And it may not be on our time schedule. So you let him lift you up. And you learn everything on the way up. That when you get to where he wants, like Noah, to start building that ark. Or like Moses, you know, to start leading those children and out of Israel and doing those miracles. Or like Paul when he's trying to assemble and birth the church and help the Lord with the organization of it. You want to learn everything, the hard knocks and the easygoing and the blessings, so that you're ready for what God has for you. Ultimately, your whole life is an experience getting you ready to leave your body to go to heaven. That's what it's about. And that he's trying to develop your character, your integrity here on earth, but he's trying to develop your spirit so that when you appear in heaven and he gives you your new body, you're going to be able to maneuver around pretty well. You don't want to be a tourist coming into heaven and say, oh, what's that up there, those little guys flying around singing? If you read the Bible, you know they're called cherubim and seraphim and angels. Hey, who are the dudes over there throwing their crowns down? You'd know those are the 24 elders. You know the Bible when you get into heaven. You don't have a tour guide your first million years. You want to just go in, run up and hug him, and then go and enjoy all the creation forever. So I'd like you to remember that. Don't try to promote yourself. Don't try to lift yourself up. Don't try to be a big wheel. Only God can lift you up. And there are a lot of people that lift themselves up, and they have a lot of money. And if you took all that money away, you'd probably never hear their name again. It's self-promotion, and you don't need that. That's what he's really saying. God lifts up, God takes down. Now, on the other hand, if God has put you someplace and he's saying, I don't need you there anymore, he's not putting you down because you're bad. He might bring somebody younger. He might bring somebody from the opposite sex. He might bring somebody with a different point of view and place them there. You just step back and say, glory be to God. And God used you. But that doesn't mean the end of your life is there. Now it's time to just cruise. You did what you were designed to do. So this is a really great verse to get to know the Lord in. I have found when you're going up and when you're coming down, you just don't want to go sideways because it says he only lifts you up and takes you down. Verse 7, 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It's full of mixture, and he pours out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Whacking them off. Psalm 76. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break the arrows of the bow, the shield, the sword, and the battle, Selah. Boy, we need to be really humble people and be people of prayer and realize why he lifts us up. We've got to be blowing the trumpet in Zion, and we've got to be warning the people like Noah did, like Moses did, anybody that was involved in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Isaiah. There's a purpose for your life. And you must see that we're in a precarious place and that God is bringing his judgment just like he did against Israel because they turned against him. In Psalm 76, he says, the battle, thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a dead sleep. The military winds down. We were listening on the radio today how that the word has gone out now that you, in the military and basic training, the drill sergeants can no longer yell at the cadets and the young guys. Well, Sandy asked the obvious question. Well, I've never liked that yelling stuff, but hold it. Do you think it's going to be prim and proper in war? Excuse me over there. Could you lower your voice? We're shooting at people. Now, come on. Don't you see the whole country is being neutered right now in front of the whole world? That we are becoming a bunch of wimps instead of the superpower that God raised us up to be? It's about time that his hand's going to say, you didn't accomplish what I wanted. Now, you're an American person. And you need to really be praying because we're in serious times right now. Paul told Timothy that there would be perilous times that men's hearts would be failing them. They're just saying there's no way out. Perplexity among nations, which literally means no way out. In verse 7, thou art to be feared, who may stand in your sight when once you are angry. You did cause judgment to be heard from heaven, and earth feared and was still. But God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Would you underline that? Because he says the next word, Selah. Stop and think what he just said. He causes, would you look at that, to save. God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Now, what did Jesus Christ say in the Sermon on the Mount? The meek shall inherit the earth. So though God's judgment's going to come against God-rejecting people and godless people acting like they know God in the church and out of the church, in any other kind of religion, he's going to judge, but he's also going to redeem, and he's going to remove, he's going to receive his congregation, and it's the meek. So this is what's so important. If he's lifted you up and given you a lot of money, you better not be proud about that. He's the one that lifted you up. If you don't use your money for his purposes, he's the one that will take you down. If he's given you great physical strength like Samson, don't spoil it on all the girls and get your eyes poked out and be down grinding the grindstone because you misused your strength and wasted it in your youth. And you can go through the entire Bible and find people that God gave special blessing to, but they used it for themselves and he took them down. Meek. Meek. Meekness, we're told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 22 is actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's not something that we can say, boy, I'm really a meek person. I'm really humble and I'm proud of it. Can't do that. The meekness comes with the breaking. And we must be gentle as doves, you know, but wise as servants. So he saves the meek. You did come in judgment. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. The remainder of wrath shall you restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be around about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. Isn't that great? Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Make vows of your love to him. And let all that be around about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. What a wonderful scripture and a challenge for you and me that we realize we walk humbly and meekly before our God. But we vow to give him all that he has given us for his honor and his glory and present gifts. He's going to receive his congregation and you become a gift to him. Now think of this verse in light of this. Turn to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, which is back about six books or so. Go to 2 Chronicles right after Ezra. You'll go to 2 Chronicles. I just want to point out a verse to you that you may want to underline and memorize and get to know a little better on your own. But it's chapter 32. In the 32nd chapter of 2 Chronicles, Moses said something very unique. I'd like to look at it, verse 21. The Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. One angel took out all the leadership of Syria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him, his own family murdered him. There in his own house with the sword, this is the enemy. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. Now this is not only biblical, but it's historical too. Some of you probably studied about Sennacherib in college if you were a Middle Eastern history major or student. Look what it says about him. And from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. God's protecting. Look at verse 23. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah the king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. It is a great danger for a minister or a ministry to get gifts that are given to God and use them to magnify themselves as if they were someone great. When you take something to the Lord, you release it to the Lord and you give it to him. But I want you to think of that in your tithes, your offerings, your service, your help, things that you do with the poor, things that you do to fix somebody's broken car or house, just ways that you love God and you serve him. Think of it from this point on as a gift and a vow. I am giving this as a gift to you, Lord. Not out of obligation. It becomes a gift. And so if God's given you gifts that will build the body of Christ and win the lost and comfort the brokenhearted and feed the poor and clothe the naked, and you hold on to what are gifts from him to you and don't multiply them back as gifts back to him, you're going to probably have a curse on your house. One of the first major things that happened when the church was formed was Ananias and Sapphira had real estate and they sold it. And apparently, the best we can make, because there's so much unsaid about it, is they were boasting to people that they gave their money to the new church and to the apostles to use. And when Ananias, the husband, came in to the meeting room, Peter said, "Ananias, is it true that you sold a piece of land?" "Yes, sir." "And why is it that you have lied to the Holy Ghost?" "Whoa. You haven't lied to man. You've lied to the Holy Ghost." Meaning the Holy Ghost knew how much he sold the land for. "Did you not sell the property for this?" "Yes, I did." "Well, why did you say you sold it for this?" Boom, he dropped dead right on the spot. Peter, sitting there, what kind of a Bible study would that be? You know, it says, these young men come, wrap him up, and take him out. And then the wife comes in. "Did you not have a piece of property?" "Yes." "When it was in your own power, could you not do what you want with that?" "Yes." "You could have bought it, sold it, kept it, multiplied it, invested it?" "Yes." "Why did you lie?" "The men of the feet who wrapped your husband up and buried him are waiting to take you right now." And boom, she fell over dead. Now that was one of the first things that happened in the church. People began to be taught from the very beginning, whatever you have belongs to God. And if he gives you something, it's yours to do with. And how you choose to do it, but don't manipulate it or misuse it or abuse it. And don't make it look like you're somebody that you're not. I'm sure if that happened in a church service or several across country, tithing and giving would go up very quickly in every church. Whoa, okay, the Holy Spirit's here. And again, that is the underlying thing, isn't it? To glorify God with what we have, but the underlying thing is that the Holy Spirit's here. If he weren't here, I wouldn't be here, but he's here. And what a joy to be in his presence. And Jesus is here. If two or more gather in my name, there I am in his midst. Why else would we be here? He's here. And churches forget that. Christians forget that. They think it's a meeting or a Bible study, and they forget that God's in their presence. So he says to him, "When God arose to judgment to save all the meek, surely the wrath of men shall praise you. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God." Verse 12, "He shall cut off the spirit of princes." He's awesome or terrible. "To the kings of the earth. Make a vow and give him all your honor and all your respect." Psalm 77. "I cried unto God with my voice. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." Now look, we mentioned this in our last study, the first five Psalms in the 70s. David's sick, and he's talking now about a sore. He had an open sore, and it keeps running, and it won't stop, and he's near death, and he's getting old and weak and feeble, and he said, "Until you let me reach the next generation, please don't judge me. Don't take me. I want to speak to the next generation." And so it says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." Isn't it wonderful that you can cry out to God, and as David said, you give ear? God will listen to you about any subject under the sun. If there's anything I could ever emphasize to you, is that God loves you, and God wants to listen to you. Now maybe you grew up with a father. You never had a dad. So you don't know what it is to think of that a father could love you or a dad could listen to you. Or how about this? You've grown up with a dad, but he never paid any attention to you. And you say, "Well, I grew up in a poor family. My dad paid all sorts of attention to me." And another person next to you say, "I grew up in a rich family, but my dad was too busy for me." So we've all come from different backgrounds. But probably one of the greatest influences in our life is that father figure and then the mother figure. if that's been shattered in our life, it's very difficult to understand Him as our Father, giving us ear.
You've been listening to part one of a message through Psalms 75 through 78. Please plan to join us next time when we'll pick up right here in this important study. Now, we know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on CNV. For that reason, we make available these studies online. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Psalms, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Next time, we'll continue our studies through the book of Psalms with Mike Macintosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.